talking about the movie God's Not Dead, and that's the theme song from the movie. It's a unique movie that's beginning to show on November the 12th in our country. Long overdue. Nobody wanted to pick it up until one of the guys from our church in Alabang decided he was going to bring the movie over to the Philippines. God's Not Dead is a low-budget Christian movie. Most movies in the United States are anywhere from $10 million, $20 million, $40 million, $100 million. This movie was produced for $5 million. And after producing it for $5 million, it went into limited theaters, and typically Christian movies don't make it near anywhere near box office hits, except this one did. USA Today says that God's Not Dead is a box office winner. It's, for some reason, it started to gain ground, started to show up in different movies, and it's about to make it here to the Philippines. Now, we are standing behind that mainly because the book or the movie was actually inspired by a book by one of our co-founders, Rice Brooks, the co-founders of Every Nation, the man who actually came here along with Pastor Steve and planted this church 30 years ago. And the book's about apologetics. It's written by Rice in collaboration with physicists and scientists from all over America to really come to that place where you are able to explain in very sound apologetic terms the reality that God's not dead, he's alive. Now, the movie is inspired by the book, but it's not the book. The movie's about a student who's being overwhelmed by his professor who's declaring that God is dead, and now he has to make a stand about this reality that he's facing. And it's a drama, amazing drama moment, dramatic moment of how this young man had to fight and lose his girlfriend and lose people around him and make a stand and say, I believe in God, in the midst of classmates and professors who were ridiculing him and all of that stuff. Great movie. If you have a chance to watch it, please do. Bring your friends as well. Now, there's a data that's coming out of the, it's known as the National Opinion Research Center of the University of Chicago. The University of Chicago researched and tried to find out what number of percentage of people in particular countries believe that God exists or that God doesn't. The research showed different nations, the percentage of people who believe God exists, the lowest of the percentage would be Japan. Interestingly, Japan has the lowest percentage of people that believe that God exists. 4.3% of the Japanese believe that God exists. The rest don't. They don't believe that God exists. The highest nation in this survey among all the world happens to be the Philippines. 83.6% of Filipinos actually believe that God exists. There is no nation higher than our country. Now, when they asked the second statistic, they said the percentage of people who believe God does not exist, the highest was East Germany. 52.1% of East Germans do not believe that God exists, which is sad because that's where the Reformation began. That's where Martin Luther came from. And yet, in the midst of that, the lowest nation that believes that God does not exist is the Philippines at 0.7%. And the winner is Pinoy. Okay. Now, this is a real statistic. It's an amazing statistic. And it's funny how, if that's true, then why are we even talking about God's not dead and atheism and all these things? Because the whole essence of that movie is the professor was an atheist and he was trying to disprove the existence of God. Well, the reason why we're talking about this is because of a verse in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, for although they knew God, people who profess to know God, Filipinos, 86% of whom declare that God lives. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And here is the verse that really cuts to the chase. It's glaring that you've got 4.3% of the Japanese don't believe in God, and 86% of Filipinos believe in God, and yet in levels of corruption, it's glaringly different. In levels of honesty and honor, it's glaringly different. And so we've got to take this talk very seriously, because if we are supposed to be representing God to the Japanese people, of which only 4.3% believe that God lives, and here we are declaring that God lives, and yet when they look at our way of living life, our morals, the posters that you see on our highways, the television shows that we watch vis-a-vis the things that the Japanese watch, it's glaringly different. And so he says, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Now, I want to bring up the idea of two kinds of atheists. On the one hand, you've got what is known as overt atheists, or people who declare they do not believe in God, God does not live, God is dead, and they're literally promoting this notion that God does not exist. But then there's the practical atheist. The guy who does not say that God does not exist, the guy who is actually a Filipino, who believes that God exists, and yet he does not honor God. What he is what is known as a practical atheist. I think some of you are here this afternoon, this morning, and God's brought you here to hear this, that you confess and you declare and you believe that God is God, and yet for some reason we don't honor him. We don't acknowledge that he's God. We don't honor the reality of who is God. And the question that lies for us is people who live as if God is dead. We don't say it because we're actually kind of betting on the fact that maybe he is alive, and I hope that I can get the green light and the ticket and the pass so that I can go to heaven and not go to hell. I kind of want to have that. And that's why I'm going to live that way. But the reality is, behind the scenes, we live as if he's dead. Our morals show it. Sad when you look at, I was at a museum, just spending time with my wife and watching little boys and girls. And I counted the number of paintings in that museum, and easily 60% of them were lewd. And I was looking at all these young boys and girls, and some of these boys and girls were, ee, ah, ooh. And they knew there was something offensive in their spirits. It's sad when you see the morality of our nation that declares, 86% of the nation declares God lives. And yet when you look at the things we watch, the things we put our eyes to, the things that we value, it's almost like people who live as if he's dead. And so we want to talk about this and address this. And this is not going to be the most popular podcast in the history of Joey Bonifacio, but it's an important one. And for some of you, it is extremely important. Now, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, for although they knew God, they knew that God exists, they did not honor him or give him thanks, praise him. And sometimes and here's the thing about thanking God and honoring God. When you really know who he is, there's something inside of you that compels you to want to honor him with your life. That it's not just a religious thing I do on a Sunday. God, I want to give you everything. When you acknowledge and you know that God is who he is. I had a phone call from my son. My youngest son, Joshua, called me up at 4:30 in the morning. And I thought somebody died. You know how it is when your kids call you at 4:30 in the morning and they're starting to cry. How many of you know that's not very nice? And then he said, Pop, they gave their life to Jesus. I thought, okay, somebody died and now they're with Jesus. I just hope they're not somebody who's very close to us. And when you're at 4:30 in the morning, you really can't, what? Who died? Who died? Nobody died. They just gave their life to Jesus. I just shared the gospel to somebody and he got born again. You see, to my son, to see someone give his life to Jesus is a big event well worth waking my father up for. He was in a squatter area. I have an interesting younger son. My youngest son can fellowship with you if you own a Ferrari, and he can sit with you in your shanty if you're a squatter. He loves people. And he had led this man and woman, this couple, to the Lord. because they had just lost everything. And he was announcing to me and saying, Pop, you know why? You know why he was reacting? Because he knows God's not dead. He's real. And he knows, here's what he said, I watch the peace in their faces, knowing full well that these people have nothing, and yet at this moment in their life, they have everything. God's not dead. He's well alive. Some of us are sitting here with something greater value than these people, and yet for some reason, the essence of honoring God and giving thanks is not real. I was in Cagayan de Oro, as I said to you, and at the end of the couple's retreat, a young man walked up to me and gave me and tried to give me this can. This is the can that we use for the building. And he introduced himself. He said, my name is John Louie, and I'm a member of the Makati Church. Years ago, I got saved on campus. And I said, John, you know what? I remember you, but you disappeared. Where did you go? He said, well, I joined the church planting team to Tacloban City. He said, is that right? Yeah, I moved with Pastor Eugene when we were planting the church in Tacloban, and I looked for a job. I worked for the Tacloban City government. And while I was working there and we were building the church, and then the high-end storm hit and basically destroyed all our possessions, all our everything we have, and this can got drowned along with the sardines and the corned beef. And after that, the city was so devastated, I lost my job. And I had to move to Cagayan de Oro. I'm now trying to start all over again with my wife here. And I heard that you were coming, so I brought my can. He said, I've been saving for this building because I got saved through the Ministry of Victory, and I wanted to give to this new building. And then he said, when I was cleaning up my house, I saw the sardine cans and the corned beef cans, and then I saw this can. And I left everything, and I took this thing because I said, this is important. This is something I've given to God. They said, Pastor, I'm not even sure if the coins in here are already rusted because this thing was underwater. But I wanted to give this to you, and I want to honor God. I want to thank God. Please take this with you. I've stood there looking at this couple handing me this can. And it dawned on me, if you've lost everything, I'll bring all the sardines and the corned beef and probably forget this can. If you've lost everything, you probably would have cracked this can open and used it to survive. You see, folks, I wish I could just tell you every Sunday that Christianity is an easy, get blessed, do whatever is pleasing and comfortable. But the reality is it's far from it. To please God, to honor God, to thank God, to acknowledge God, despite our discomforts, is an acknowledgement that God lives. That our practical Savior is not money, not things, not food. That our real Savior is God. Now further, it says in verse 21, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is what happens when you play this game of practical atheism, of coming to church, maybe raising up your hands, maybe even paying your tithes, maybe even, but for some reason, denying the reality of who God is what happens is our thinking becomes futile and our hearts become darkened. In fact, it says our foolish hearts become darkened. It's a dangerous thing, and I want to forewarn you, if you're here today, and if you have a friend like this, if you're discipling someone like this, you need to take these verses and explain to him or her the reality of their Christianity. In the earlier service this morning, I felt very strongly that there were three people in the room that God had brought here today just to hear this. You know, sometimes it's better for you to know that you're a sinner than you think that you're not. You know how dangerous that is? Where you think that you are serving God and honoring God with your life, but you're not. But you're actually a practical atheist. Because if you were a sinner, there's hope for you to make a U-turn and change your ways than for someone who actually thinks he's okay. That's a more dangerous thing. And he warns us. One of the marks of a practical atheist is futile thinking and dark hearts. That there's a darkness in our hearts, that they can no longer see what's right. This is one of the marks. Here's how you know. When you're living in sin and you have rationalized your position and believe that regardless of what you're doing, you know that you know. I had a gentleman walk up here. This is an interesting thing. He talked about this gazillion deal. It's like a huge, massive deal involving different parties. And he said, you know how these deals go, right? In other words, the only way this is going to push through is you've got to do some things. You know what that means, right? And I said, what do I do? You decide what you're going to do. You can either pray to God and let God come through for you, or you can maneuver your way and rationalize your thoughts and decide what you want to decide, but God knows what you're doing. And every time we do something that's dark, it hardens our heart to keep moving in that dark space. And he warns us that we have to honor God and tell him the truth. We cannot be futile and darkened in our thing. James chapter 2, verse 19 actually warns us, you believe that there is one God. You believe that there is God. You are the 86% statistic, and yet even the demons believe that and shudder. In other words, you're no different than a demon. Look at your friend beside you. I hope they don't look like they are. I hope they look like they're saints. I went to the couples retreat off U-Belt. So many people come to Victory and think, that's the church of the actors and the actresses, the movie stars and the athletes, the CEOs. Because you probably come to the 10 and 12 o'clock service, and we've made sure this was a straight English service for all the internationals. But you know, of the 117 services that we have, most of them are Taglish. And most of them are very poor people. Our church in Pasig, our church in Caloocan, our church in the University Belt. In the couples retreat, we had a testimony, I heard a testimony of this man and this woman. And the man just lost his job because he had cancer. He had cancer from his nose and his throat. And there's no money to pay for this thing. And last year, they came to the couples retreat because their small group leader said, we're going to pay for your couples retreat. So it's a 5,500 pesos for an overnight stay at a place where we were so that they could hear and move forward in their marriage. And last year they were there and they were blessed about it. But they're new in church. And so when her husband started having cancer, they said, no, there's no money to fix this thing. The small group got around them and started praying and believing God. And God supernaturally healed her husband. So he got healed, but still no job, still no money. So because she's not a disciple, because she doesn't know God so well, she's being discipled. One of the things she does is her practical savior is her 20 peso bill every day, nonstop. For years, she spends that 20 pesos to buy a Lotto ticket. Lotto is Lord. Some of you can't laugh because you're living that way. Now I know you're living that way. And every day she would invest in this thing, her mind is so darkened that she's going to be the one person who's going to win this 200 million pesos out of 100 million others. And if you're a Lotto operator, God loves you. I mean, I'm not against you, okay? I'm just trying to tell you, don't darken your mind. My goodness. So the small group leader says, you know what? You want to go to, he says, I'm trying to win because I want to go to the next couple's retreat. And you know what the small group leader said? All you got to do is take your 20 pesos and save it. If you save that, you're going to have enough money to go to the next couple's retreat. And so she gets a mayonnaise jar, straps it with electric tape just to make sure that she doesn't pull out the 20 pesos and start stuffing this giant mayonnaise jar with 20 peso bills for 365 days. How many of you know that's going to be more than 5,000 pesos by the end of the year? You don't even have to be a mathematician. That's the secret of the Chinese people. They don't have to be good accountants. They just keep putting the money in the jar and not spending it. And when you open it, the money will be there. Hello? Common sense. You don't have to be brilliant. You just have to have not a darkened mind. So she opens the jar. And lo and behold, they have all the money. And so they were testifying, we're at the couples retreat because we followed our disciple leader and we followed the Lord. And more than that, we had money to buy pajamas in this couples retreat. Some of these things is really not as hard as we think it is. But are we willing to just follow him? And stop being practical atheists and believing that other practical things will save us. Money will save. No, money won't save you. God can give you money, though. Above and beyond. And some of you, that lie is so strong in you that even as I say these, you're rejecting the very answer. Now, further it says in Proverbs 4:19, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. Everybody say, deep darkness. You don't want to go there. It's almost like this. If this is where God wants you to be, this is the destiny, and this is where you are, and you're headed that way. How many of you know you're not going to get there for as long as you're headed here? The further you get away from God, God is light. The further you get away from light, the darker and the deeper the darkness gets. Are you following me? The idea, and here's, I believe this with all my heart. Honestly, I do. I said this at the couples we did. My wife and I did not start out as Christians. We were 2 years in our marriage. I was smoking dope. I was drinking like a fish. I believe that God can restore anything and everything. That's not the issue. The issue is, will you make the U-turn and head towards the light? Because for as long as you're heading through darkness, it's going to get darker and darker and darker. It's only until the day you start making the U-turn. The further you go, how many of you know you're driving a car, you're not stupid, you know that when you go very far away, when you make the U-turn, it will take you a longer time to get back to the light. It's going to get good, it's just going to take you longer. Now here's the sad part. It's when you get on the wrong road, in the wrong lane, and you got in the road headed for Subic when you're supposed to be going to Manila, and at that point you want to make a U-turn, but you can't. And folks, there are moments like that in our lives where your health is waning and you want to make the U-turn, but you can't because you just have to keep going forward, and you know that you know that you know that the further you go, the darker it gets. These are our habits, our practices, our relationships that God has intended not for us to have, but until the day, and folks, this is the day. You're here today because God wants you to make that U-turn today and head on back home. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. Why am I always tripping? Why is life not working? Why is my marriage not where it's supposed to be? Why are my finances? Why is my health? Why? Why are my children the way they are? You know that when you have deep darkness and deception, you forget the reality of how tentative and temporary this life is. A common denominator for every tombstone is the name of the party that died, the person that died, the date of his birth, and the date of his death. And in between those two dates is this little dash, the short life that you have here on earth, that you could actually experience the eternal goodness of God while being here. But when you've got darkened life, you rush through the wrong direction thinking it will never end, thinking it's going to be perfect, that someday all is going to be bright, thinking that all this is going to resolve itself, it won't. Resolution comes when you make the U-turn and head back for God. No longer being practical atheists that say one thing, that I believe in God, but really dishonor him with our lives. And Romans continues to tell us in verse 22, claiming to be wise, they become fools. That's really what it is, isn't it? When you know you're in the wrong highway and you're still proceeding on, doing the wrong thing that you're supposed to be doing. Verse 23, an exchange, and this is the important part. This is really the heart of what I want to share with you. and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. The final mark of this is really this idea of exchanging the glory of the immortal God, exchanging the expansive reality of the eternity of God versus something that's temporary and limited. And I want to talk to you a little bit about bad exchanges. In fact, in Romans 1, you will find three bad exchanges in the text. You want to read this at home tonight. In fact, I believe that one day the statistics of the Philippines will not be 86%. It might actually be 90%, but the real thing. That when people look at our nation and look at Japan and look at Germany and look at the Philippines, they'll say the statistics is correct. It's not just correct. The people's lives have been changed because they did not make these bad exchanges. Exchange number one, exchange the eternal God for the truth, the lie. And the second one is they exchange the truth about God for a lie. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows you long before you've actually committed the sin. Every time you behave and walk in the path of darkness, headed in the wrong direction, what you're saying is actually being an atheist and declaring that God's not seeing me. Or if you're saying God sees me, he doesn't have the power to do anything to what I'm doing. You're still an atheist. It's either God doesn't see me or doesn't have the power. Or God doesn't want to do anything about it. It's still practical atheism, isn't it? We exchange the truth for a lie. We exchange God's truth, the eternity of who God is, and what God wants to do in us and for us. Now, as at the U-Belt Couples Retreat, I was reminded about our pastors there. These are our pastors in U-Belt. This is Pastor Gilbert and Pastor Gilbert. Pastor Gilbert is the senior pastor. His name is Pastor Gilbert Foliente. His name is Gilbert Esperidion. He's actually moving here in January to head our worship. He used to be one of the lead singers for Passage. You probably, those of you in the 80s, you probably remember that. Now, the interesting thing about these pastors are they're both pastors in the U-Belt, and their both names are Gilbert. How many of you know that's a little weird because Gilbert is not a usual name in the Philippines? But the interesting thing about these two guys was they married twins. Pastor Gilbert and Pastor Gilbert married Kathy and Carol, and they're actually twins. And there are pastors at U-Belt. When they came to U-Belt, there were 900 people 9 years ago. Now the church has over 10,000 people. It's a massive church. Pastor Gilbert was reached in UP. Pastor Gilbert was reached in UP. This guy was reached in UPLB. I used to go to UPLB, and they'd be there. I'd be preaching there. I would stand up. And I remember these young guys when they were starting to get saved and get born again, get discipled. This guy got saved in the University of the Philippines in Manila. He was Mr. Cool, Mr. Sound, Mr. You can see the moves. He's got the groove, okay? No, really, he does. But the interesting thing is that man led one of our major senior leaders in the movement today. One of the guys that actually helped run our bishop, Bishop Manny Carlos, has an assistant. His name is Ado Bernardo, and he led him to the Lord. They were students at the University of the Philippines. And Ado Bernardo got saved in a restroom. Hello. Because he's been trying to track him down. He couldn't. And then this guy gets that guy saved. That guy leads his classmate who was a, these are etymologists. These guys are brilliant. These guys are smart. These guys can get so dark in their thinking until Jesus came into the picture. Ado begins to share to a guy named Richie Lianto, who's now the senior pastor of our church in Zamboanga. It's turning the course. Many of these guys had weird ideas about how to change our nation. Now they're in the right course. They're making the shift. They're leading others. It's an entire movement of people. The reason why I bring this up to you is that's the way we change the Philippines. We challenge the reality of atheistic thinking. And sometimes we can come to church like this, and there's a notion in this country that for as long as I say that I believe in God, I can be religious and yet live an alternate lifestyle and still think that God is for me and not against me. And I want to challenge that for you today. Now, down in verse 26, he says, even their women, this is the third exchange. It gets tougher. First exchange is just exchanging the immortal God for mortal man, exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And finally, he says, even their women exchange natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. And please, this is probably politically the thing that nobody wants to hear at church. But if you're saying you're a Christian, if you're saying you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't exchange this. He says, exchanging the natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. These are marks of an atheist. In the same way, men also abandon their natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. These are telltale signs something's wrong, folks. I drive down our city and look at all the posters, and it's terrible. The moral standards, the shows that are being promoted, the fashion shows that are being promoted, the hugeness of these things. And if you don't sense any lewdness and it doesn't send alarm bells in you, your minds and your hearts are getting dark. Hello? Tatlo na lang yata tao dito. It's getting dark. And here we are, the Church of Jesus Christ, preaching prosperity, blessing, the blessing of the Lord. Listen, that ain't going to happen. That's going to happen when you start driving and heading towards Him. Same way they abandoned natural relations for unnatural ones. I had a chance to meet Eddie Mesa. Those of you who are from my age would know him. How many of you know Eddie Mesa? About 15 of us. Eddie Mesa was the Elvis Presley of the Philippines. Really, I mean, he was the ultimate rock star. Married this woman, Rosemary Hill, which is a very popular actress, back in the 1970s. Eddie Mesa had an encounter with the Lord, got born again in the days when this was not in vogue. In the days when to be born again was not something people readily accepted, Eddie Mesa got radically changed, and the showbiz industry almost disowned him. And he became an evangelist. He started traveling and preaching the gospel. There was I posted this picture in my Facebook account, and somebody said, I used to hear him in our high school, and he would travel. His marriage changed. His children changed. He's in town because he lives in the States now, travels to South America and preaches there, preaches all over the world. He's now an evangelist. He's in town because his son died. And his son, who's lived a horrible life, got saved. But here's the interesting twist. I was doing the couples retreat at the U-Belt, and then one of the waiters came into the room and said, Eddie Mesa's looking for you. I said, Eddie who? Eddie Mesa. I said, I don't know Eddie Mesa. Well, he knows you. So I come out and I say, I know who you are. I don't think you know me. Well, I don't know you, but I've heard of you. And I just want to commend you. And he said, I want to commend you for preaching the gospel. And all the fire of God was coming out of him. And I thought, wow, this is so encouraging. So then we started talking. As we were talking, he said, you're the founder of Victory, right? No. The founder of Victory is Pastor Steve Merlin. You're the senior pastor of Victory Fort, right? Yes, but no. Actually, it's a guy named Paolo Ponsalan who now runs Victory Fort. I just keep the title, but he's the one who really runs it. He's actually taking over from me in January, and we're going to exchange this thing. And I explained to him what was happening. And he said, okay. And then he's shaking my hand profusely and saying, so what do you do? I pastor the 10 and the 12. That's what I signed up for. I want to be a pastor of a congregation. That's what I want to do. And so we were chatting like this, and as the exchange, Paolo Ponsalan, that name rings a bell. I said, yeah. I said, is he the son of Helen Bella? Yes, that's the son of Helen. We shared the gospel to Helen Bella. And you think about this little thing of going out of your way. A man who's so deep in darkness, makes a U-turn. 40 years later, still traveling, still serving God, still preaching the gospel, changing the world. And you think about Helen Vela sharing the gospel to his son before she dies. And you think about the number of people that Pastor Paulo is impacting right now as I speak behind this building. That's how you're going to change the world, folks. It's not religion. It's not your good works. It's making the turn. It's not the practical atheism of believing one thing and living a totally different way. It's making a decision. As I close, verse 28, furthermore, just as you think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over. This is where you don't want to be. Keep traveling in that road of darkness, and what happens is you get a depraved mind. It's total black. Your reasoning, your rational, your positions, your issues, the way your heart moves becomes depraved. You can't even reason outright. You're better off acknowledging you're a sinner than get here, thinking that you've got your life all correct, but you're really a practical atheist. He goes on to say they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed. You notice that word greed? You see it around our country. You see it in the behavior of our leaders. I don't care if you have 86% believing in God. If that's there, that's dark. Are you still with me? Depravity. They are full of envy. Now, some of you are probably saying, Pastor Joe, he's talking about just the homosexuals and the lesbians. No, I'm talking about envy here. Same category. This is part of our problem, is we think some sins are worse than others. Sin is sin. And by the way, we're probably more guilty of envy than the other sins. Murder. Ever read the news? 86% of this nation believe in Jesus. 86% of these, but you look at the news. Deceit. Malice. They are, can somebody read that for me? They are what? Do you know that God, in God's eyes, that's just, and you know what, as a nation, what is our nation known for? Hello? Anong tawag sa Tagalog doon? Chismoso. Are you here? Do we really want the gospel? Or are we just going to play religion for the rest of our lives? How quickly do you talk about your neighbor? I'm conscious when I talk about people that I don't have authority over, mainly because I want to make sure that what's coming out of my mouth, Jesus is watching me. He's omniscient. He's watching me. I love you enough to tell you the truth, amen? Slanderers, God-haters, insolent, they're one category, they're all the same. Arrogant and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Practical atheism. Believing one thing, but behaving in a totally different way. Although they know God, and he's summarizing this, they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. And be careful of this. You might be saying, Pastor, why are you preaching this to me? I don't do these things. But do you approve of them? Do you applaud them? Do you turn a blind eye? And you may be a senator, a congressman. You may be listening to this podcast. You may be a justice of the Supreme Court. Listen. Do not approve these things. It's not because of me, it's because of God. He's going to get you. And I love you. I'm not shouting, I'm not screaming, I'm not trying to manipulate. I'm trying to tell you this is what God's business is all about. And He is not dead, He's alive. very alive. And he's very aware of his business. Amen? For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made so that they are without excuse. In other words, you and I have no excuse sheerly by the idea that you can see all of creation. Even more so if you're a Christian. If we say that the only reason why I can't really follow God is because I can't see him is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and he was with God in the beginning, from the very beginning of time. Maybe he was invisible at some period in time, but then one day, he came down to earth and became one of us and became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Make the U-turn, because as you encounter Jesus, his grace and his truth will be given to you. Amen? Do you stand on your feet as we close with a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the families that are represented here. And I pray, Lord, that even as your word is preached here today, that you would open our hearts to receive the fullness of your truth. There's some of you here, God's brought you here today for a reason. You're here because God wants you to get out of that dark spot, out of that dark place. There's some of you, you're not that far off, but God wants you headed in the right direction. Doesn't want you playing games anymore. Doesn't want you to be one who will rationalize, one who will just say one thing and yet behave in a totally different way. And if you're here today as every eye is closed, just don't look around. Just take this moment to be alone with the Holy Spirit. Just pray this prayer in your heart. God, show me the truth. I don't want to be a practical atheist. I don't want to believe one thing and behave in another. I don't want to be a hypocrite, Lord. I want to be your child. I want to be your daughter. I want to be your son. I want to walk in the fullness of your righteousness for your name's sake. God, and today I choose to make that U-turn. I choose to head in your direction, God. I choose to forgo whatever is causing darkness in my life, to trust you, to believe in you. If you're saying that, would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven? God, I want to grow in my faith in you. God, I want to let go, Lord, of the dark areas of my life. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, bring conviction. Would you just put one hand in your heart, put conviction deep in my heart. Purge my heart of darkness. Purge my heart of the ability to exchange the truth for a lie, to exchange eternity for the temporary, to exchange and have all these unnatural things in my life. Bring deliverance and freedom. Lord, even as I pray this, I believe by faith that I've begun my journey to return home. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. And amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.